you're here. Fellowship's sweeter, knowing you're near. It's so good to see you. Hope that it's there.
Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It is Tuesday, May 28th, 2019. Do you see, like, Shekinah glory around my head, or you see that your nose?
Yeah.
Well, actually, I'm going to probably wait till Friday to share some of this.
You said that.
But I got to share a couple little pointers. Okay. I and Pastor Jason Schiffo attended a special Ravi Zacharias. It was like a church leaders gathering in Atlanta. So we drove down and got
to enjoy that
and blessed in so many different ways.
Yeah.
In fact, I'm still just reveling in the things that I learned, the conviction, great conviction on things that I can enhance or do or change or new patterns to put into place. Even the concept they talk about team.
Mm-hmm.
And teamwork. And they don't use the word staff, even though staff's a good word. Like, we
sure.
have a great staff here. I think I've referred to you know, our team as a staff. I want to start saying team more. But it was a church leaders conference. I got this email, I don't know, 3 or 4 months ago. And I was like, this is kind of interesting. It's at Ravi's headquarters in Atlanta, or it's a town right outside of Atlanta. I can't remember the name of it, but it's about a 9-hour drive down there.
Mm-hmm.
And they said only 200 or 220 people.
Wow.
So I thought, wow, I better follow up on this. And Francis Chen and some other speakers, Becky Pippert and some other pretty well-known people, I thought, only 200 people? Why did I get invited to this thing? So I email or text Jason right away, and I said, hey, I think this thing's going to fill up by the day's end.
Oh, yeah.
Might you be interested? And he texted and said, sure.
Oh.
And so I put two reservations in, and then I think it was a day or two later, it filled up.
Oh, I can believe it.
And so I thought, why did I get this email? Why was I chosen? I'm not like a church leader.
It sounds like a God
thing. But it totally was in hindsight, and when Jason's on Friday, we'll talk more about it. But phenomenal. It was a 2-day conference. We left early, drove down, and then, you know, started that next morning. It was like a 9-to-5 work day.
Mm-hmm.
And great, gifted speakers. Every single one of them was worthwhile. Jason was like, after the first day, how can it get any better? I mean,
wow.
They're all great.
Oh, my goodness.
Some missionaries that are doing incredible work in Africa, to people that have ministries out in the Middle East. And Ravi Zacharias, RZIEM, I think, Ravi Zacharias International Ministries or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
It was their headquarters. Great building, accommodations. Everything went smoothly and orderly. And
the
speakers just sat next to you. Like, in front of me was Becky Pippert. She sat down. I said to Jason, that's probably just, you know, the hairstyle and the mannerisms in her husband. I thought, those are probably either mega church pastors or something like, they're notables. I just, you have that feel about certain people. Maybe they're poised, or I don't know how they present themselves.
I remember when you said that about me.
Yeah,
no,
that's right.
Never mind.
Yeah.
No, wait, that didn't happen.
Yeah.
Anyway, go ahead.
And the rows, there was only like, because there was only 200, 220 of us or whatever. I mean, there's only like 4 or 5 rows.
Yeah.
And so everyone was close to the stage. It was a great room.
Oh,
anyways,
it sounds nice.
I thought, yeah, that person's probably a notable. But I was thinking, that's interesting, they're in front of us. But I thought maybe a mega church in one of these, you know, 40,000 member churches or something.
It was Becky Pippert.
Yeah, it was Becky Pippert. She got up and was speaking.
Well, she's from here, right?
Yeah, originally.
Or from Champaign-Urbana.
Yeah, that's what she said. I talked to her a couple different times because I knew she had spoken at some of the Urbana missionaries. Conventions here from InterVarsity, and she was on staff with InterVarsity for a period of time. And when she wrote that book, Out of the Salt Shaker into the Fire, Out of the Salt Shaker.
Out of the Salt Shaker.
Yeah, that might have been, and then maybe it was a subtitle. What do they call
those? It's Into the Fire. That doesn't sound
right. Yeah, that's right. Well, Out of the Salt Shaker, many people would be familiar with that. Yeah, she was down to earth and great, and she spoke both days. And Francis Chen, I'll wait till Jason's with us on Friday. But I love that concept of teamwork. And I think I was telling you this before we have our morning program here. The culture of Ravi Zacharias Ministries was so impressive. Just all the staff members, and they had a number of the speakers were on staff, whether they served in the Middle East or in India or in Great Britain, and how they came all together. their sense of humor and how they fed off of each other. And like I was telling you, Francis Chen is sitting next to Ravi, and they're joking and kidding. And all of them had great senses of humor, but
like
a passion for Jesus that elevated all of us to
be like,
let's be sold out. Let's share. Let's witness. Let's, anyways, all good.
Oh, I'm so glad you guys
got to go. Conference. And then Jason and I had wonderful time together.
But you traveled like two guys. You said you just stopped for 2 8-minute break and one quick dinner.
Quick
and
dinner.
And jumped back in the car.
But partly because, basically, I guess it's if you Google, it's about a 9-hour drive. But the trip down ended up being 16 hours. There was a couple accidents on 57, so it took over 3 hours to go like 2 miles. And then they had some road construction, so basically it was 16 hours and 9 minutes to get there. Now, get home, it was only like 8 and a half or something, and I got to use cruise control, and that was nice. But anyways, it was phenomenal. We had great sharing time together.
I'm so glad.
You know, that 16 hours down, we covered a lot of topics. And we both were just thoroughly blessed and impressed, and we would, you know, recap the evening. It was like when it was done at 5, that was it.
Oh, really?
So Jason and I, we'd go out for dinner, we'd talk about it, look at our notes, and...
Sounds so refreshing.
It was great.
You looked very refreshed when you came back.
Yeah. Well, and I was so much glad that I didn't have to do another 16-hour drive back.
Eight
hours seemed like, oh, gosh, that's nothing.
Oh, yeah.
But we'll talk more on Friday. And I don't have my workbook here, so I'll have to bring that back on Friday. And Jason took great notes and... Oh, so many levels, just the commitment that some of these individuals in the ministry had. And they had a couple of missionaries in from Africa that have seen the worst, Boko Haram and all that. They've dealt with mass murders and church burnings and being stabbed and fired at family members being brutalized and the things that
God,
we can't even imagine. Left a great impression on us. Boy, what prayer warriors and the testimonies they gave, because they've lived through those refining fires.
Yeah,
and both Jason and I are like, why aren't we like that? And it's like, because they've seen and experienced God at a different level.
We'll
see. So a little teaser, tune in Friday. I'll get Jason in here, and he'll do a great job at recapping some of the things. And we're even seeing if we can interview some of those people on future programs, or see if we can get some of the audio from what was shared.
Oh, that's great.
It was a church leaders symposium workshop, but it was so much more than that. And not everyone there was church leaders. I was telling you, it was a diversity of people
of
all ages.
I like that.
Backgrounds at all. It wasn't like I thought 200 people or 220. Like it's going to be these hybrid, high-capacity leaders, because I thought, but it was like everything.
Everybody
and I still don't even know why did I get chosen, and God was in it.
It's
a God thing.
It really was. It is. Well, you have brought a lot of refreshing back with you to the rest of us here. It's very evident.
Well, it's going to even grow, I hope and pray, as God really influenced me, and I had the day and a half, you know, with Memorial Day.
True.
Got to have the day off for the most part, and... Got to think through things, and then Sunday I really had a worshipful day to implement and do some additional reading. And some of the people were like, it's just, again, it's all about falling in love with Jesus.
And that
was kind of the core. And I thought, you know, maybe when we're done with your book, I thought, more testimonies on just people's walk with Jesus.
Oh,
just, you know, it don't have to be high-powered authors that have written about it, or, you know, megachurch pastors or somebody that's out in the missions field. It could be Susie Jane down the street that just loves Jesus. And that's
absolutely.
Jason and I were talking about, you know, how that could work. Or
I love that.
I don't know. But
I love that idea.
It was great. So
some people that you never expect have the greatest testimonies.
Oh, and many of these, like Jason says, I don't know any of these speakers. They weren't like the popular speakers that are on the book tours.
Right.
These were ministry personnel, a part of Ravi Zacharias' ministry, or some others. And he had never heard of Becky Pippert, but you know, many of our listeners are familiar with her as an author and somebody who teaches evangelism. But most of these speakers were apologetists. apologists. They were very bright. They know how to defend the gospel. They know how to talk it all through.
Apologetics, yeah.
Yeah, and so they were all bright, but very diverse. Anyway, so Friday, Jason will be, I'm trusting Jason will be able to put teeth to some of the things I'm trying to reference or talk about.
Well, you know, I think I mentioned it the other day. Here, I think, some of the greatest people that have ever lived, we don't know their names.
Yeah.
We don't.
Yeah.
And it's true all around us. We need to get these stories out.
Yeah.
We do.
Yeah.
They're powerful.
Yeah, both the
guys. Just because they're not famous is irrelevant.
Right, right. In fact, sometimes being famous interferes.
It can.
And Francis Chen, he was great. Oh, gosh, talk about down the earth. And I know maybe people are in different camps on him because of maybe media spin or something was out. I'm telling you, and we'll probably play one of his messages that he gave. Because I think Jason said it was on YouTube and available.
Mm.
But down to earth and humble and caring and passionate. Oh, I don't know. He was great. Anyways, he was saying, one of his prayers were for these two African brothers, and he was saying this from stage, is that they won't get complacent, that they won't, you know, some gal went out and got all these snack foods and got these whole trays of cookies and cheesecakes and little things, and I was watching her, served it to this guy, and you're thinking, he comes from a very impoverished place, and he looked at the plate, and I thought to myself, he'll never finish that plate, and he's probably like, and nor did he, but Francis Chen was saying, and don't allow our American culture and stuff to thwart or derail or become a stumbling block to you.
And, absolutely.
Oh, it was really powerful and, I don't know, many things.
I can't wait to hear you talk more about
Come Friday. Tune in, everyone, on Friday. Well, Jason's going to do a good job.
Jason's going to do great.
And no pressure, Jason.
And between now and then, you're going to keep talking because it's very inspiring.
And I'm going to bring it in, and I can, and I took many, many notes. And in fact, we didn't get in till 2:08 a.m. And then that next morning it started at 9 o'clock. And God, there's some neat little miracles. Jason was journaling, but Karen happened to call. We both fell asleep. The alarm didn't, you know, we got to sleep at like 3 something. And we were going to be up at 7, so we were going to get 4 hours, which isn't the end of the world. But there was that storm, I guess, back in Illinois. Basically, Karen called. And it woke me up. Karen says, I had called, and I'm not sure if there are repeat programs. There weren't. But she called anyways because she thought they might have been for
she
me to check.
She's always on task.
Because she called, it woke us up, and we made it right exactly on time. And anyways,
trust Karen.
The story. Yeah, thank you, Karen. I don't think I told her that she rescued us. Otherwise, we wouldn't. Who knows? Because we only had, at that point, maybe 4 hours of sleep.
Yeah.
But we didn't get in. Basically, we got to sleep. We got in at like 2:11 and finally got a room. So it was after 3 when we fell asleep. But anyways, Karen rescued us. We got to go, and we were both very alert that day. It was a very full day.
That's
and speaking
exciting.
Of full days, if we're going to fit in a chapter, we're in Memories of an African Son, chapter 58, The First Missionaries.
All right. Did we go to Africa, or did Africa come to us?
Mm.
The first time I heard such a question, I was baffled, but a stronger student of history would have had no trouble with it. They would have known that some of the oldest churches in the world were in Africa, that some of the first missionaries came from Africa. Long before the Western world ever heard the gospel, Africa believed. I am dismayed when I hear people talk of how Europeans or Americans took the gospel to Africa without any mention of the many from various places who brought the gospel to their own peoples. My people, too, my ancestors, came from the lands of the Gentiles. So many of us, from the lands where people had to come and bring us news of the Messiah, would do well to be grateful, I think, instead of proud. We were the lands and the peoples who were once in darkness. Gentile, a Latin word used for the original Hebrew word in the scriptures that meant the peoples, and in Greek, the ethnicities, the nations. Those lands of all the peoples where the light for revelations to the nations was brought. Yes, missionaries from the West did go to Africa, some at great risk. But the Africans also came at great risk. No European country knew the good news of Jesus until missionaries, believers, from the Middle East and Africa showed up on their doorstep. Many of the early church fathers were Africans. In Gaza, a disciple named Philip baptized an Ethiopian in 34 AD, a man who was already a student of the scriptures. He was reading the book of Isaiah when Philip met up with him. The Ethiopian, who was the finance minister in charge of the Queen of Ethiopia's treasury, was on the road leaving Jerusalem, making his way back to Ethiopia, most likely to the kingdom of Maro. The apostle Philip made his way to Carthage in Tunisia to spread the news of Jesus. Some historians believe that the apostle Mark was in Egypt by 42 AD. In Acts 11:20, we read that a believer from Cyrene in North Africa, in ancient Libya, came and preached the gospel to the Greeks in Antioch. Churches had been planted in Algeria by the year 100 AD. In 197 AD, the author Tertullian wrote that Christianity had permeated all ranks of society through North Africa. Now, some of those oldest churches lay in ruins.
Isn't the Queen of Sheba? Didn't she come to meet Solomon?
Yep, we're getting to her.
Okay.
No, maybe that was in another chapter. Yeah, she did. She did. She sure did. You got it, Mark.
Yeah, I kind of looked ahead to see if I knew that, or maybe I heard it, you read it at some point. Okay, so we'll keep...
It's in that Kingdoms of Africa chapter. You're right about that. Will this fate be what happens to America and the Western world? Will our churches lay in ruins, forgotten? Oh, I deeply hope not. But Africa also gives us hope. For even if those oldest churches lay in ruins, many new ones are being started and rising up all across the continent. The fact is that over the course of history, the missionaries have come from everywhere and have gone everywhere, to the west, to the east, to the north, and the south. I don't know who was first. It depends on just how far back one wants to go. But they still need to come. They need to still go. Because huge parts of the world that once knew seem to know no longer. There are now many churches in Africa. Some are the legacy of missionaries. Many are indigenous churches, African-initiated churches. As is true for me and my own ancestors, none of us can fully trace the steps back to where those who went before us first heard the gospel and from whom. But the point that matters is that we did hear it. The word we now use, missionary, is not in any of the oldest texts of the Bible. It is not a word that was directly translated from any of the original languages the Bible was written in. Instead, the word derives from a Latin word, and first came into prominent use by the Jesuits in the Middle Ages. But the concept, those who are sent out, is certainly throughout the Bible. Today, churches in Africa are sending missionaries around the world, including to the United States and Europe, which is an extremely meaningful thing. But in doing so, they are sending their missionaries into what has become one of the most hazardous and difficult of current missionary fields. That's us. The current cultures of this world are pervasive entities. It takes a strong will and the empowering of God to not fall prey to the spirits of the age. America, my country, that I so care about and that has so many fine people in it who do so much good, has, as many countries before it, allowed perversions and degradation to spill out from it. But this time, unlike those older nations before it, those degradations are spilling out across vast airwaves, through international satellite feeds, across a worldwide internet, like a polluted, filthy waterfall. America is most certainly not alone in this in today's world, and all of us everywhere need the help of the African missionaries, of any missionaries from anywhere who could stand for truth. But mostly, we need great prayer. The African Christians that we worked alongside in Ghana once told my family, "You loved us too much." The statement, said with heartfelt sincerity, still brings tears to my eyes. I would ask them, and all places where the church is now rising powerfully, I would cry out, please pray for my country too. Please love us now with the truth of the gospel, before we go down. But we have our great prophetic word. We still have the great hope for all of us that Jesus is the light for revelation to the Gentiles. And that word will not go away. I cling to that phrase, the prophecy said over the Messiah by Simeon in the temple so long ago as he held the young Jesus in his arms. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all nations, a light for revelation to the Gentiles. Luke 2, 30 and 32. And that Messiah, Yeshua, translated to the English as Jesus, said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. Mark 16, 15. It's a tall order, but he said it. So it can be done.
And we're going to stop right here for a second. We're running out of time, but go into all the world. And I love personalizing it to our listeners today. Go into all your world.
Oh, I like that.
Go into all your world today and preach the gospel to all creation.
It gives one pause to think, could it happen? Could it be that it's in our generations that the whole world could know the gospel at once, at the same time? Could we do it with God's help? Help us not to think small, Lord, to not think in terms of the world's limitations. Could we? Could we reach the entire world in our current generation? Give us a new and fresh vision. Embolden us. Let us not be hampered by small thinking. Let us go forward with joy, laughter, resources, boldness, and the power of the Holy Spirit. Break us out of our boxes, Lord. Show us your vision for our generations.
Hey, this book is worth just reading this prayer. Read it with us again today. Memories of an African Son by Marianne Simpkins. Thank you so much, Marianne. More to say. We got to talk more about this. A couple more chapters.
Well, I just wanted to point out that if you look at the dedication page, that scripture is the one I chose in the very front of the book. A light for revelation to the Gentiles.
Amen. Thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns and Marianne Simpkins with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you. Have a great day and night.